This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
I was hoping we'd have a show like this. I was hoping we'd get here someday before a trial actually took place and a judge put the words appearance of a cover-up and so egregious into a 19-page order dismissing the murder case against Aaron Spencer, the Arkansas father charged with killing Michael Fosler, the 67-year-old man accused of crimes against Spencer's 13-year-old daughter. Special Circuit Court Judge Ralph Wilson cataloged 11 specific failures by the lead detective on the case, Robbie McCain. Evidence not photographed, not logged, viewed on a personal computer, stored in an office drawer for a year, and ultimately lost. The state argued negligence. Wilson found bad faith. The second-degree murder charge is gone. So here we are. Time to break it all down on where it goes from here. And your thoughts in the comment section on Substack, YouTube, or wherever you're watching this right now. Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries, joining us as always. Been on this case from day one. Let's start with the big words. Appearance of a cover-up. And so egregious. Those are the judge's words in writing in a single order. You've been analyzing criminal cases for a long time. How rare is that language from a sitting judge?
Pretty rare. It's pretty rare. I mean, when I read it, I was, you know, that was like a whoa moment because it's a big thing for a judge to do that. I mean, it's a big thing for a judge to really take that step and say that I think that the police have done something untoward at all, you know, to go to the length of, all right, this, if it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it's a duck type situation. It blew my mind, frankly, because he didn't have to do it. You know what I mean? He could have just, and it was a carefully crafted order. You know, he put a lot of thought into it. That wasn't something he just threw together. And ultimately, it was a situation where he just couldn't ignore what was in front of him, you know. And I think that ultimately, and we'll probably get into this area a bit, I think the fact that because he was a retired judge who had been appointed really gave him the freedom to kind of say what he wanted to say.
Yeah.
Whereas if he was still on the bench actively, he may have tempered it some. So,
and I'm wondering about how we got to this point here, because it all comes down really. I mean, the big thing is the SD card going missing from the camera itself. And then we've talked about it before. This is a piece that I have all of the details that the judge ruled on here, from it getting in his computer, him saying, oh, the videos were this long when the camera's not even capable of recording to that length, all of the bullshit that was spewed out there. That did all of that really come later into this investigation as we're getting closer to the trial date? Or had this been, have these facts been known all along and it just finally took this judge to step up and say, what are you all doing?
Yeah, to me, in terms of the cover-up aspect of it, it's undeniable that they clearly knew, they being Lono County Sheriff and, for all intents and purposes, the AG and their office, who's the one who said, look, you sent this dash cam to us, but the SD card's not there. They'd known about it for months. Because remember, this thing doesn't, the defense has no awareness that this dashboard cam even exists in the world at all.
Yeah.
Because they decided not to, for whatever reason, which was one of the reasons that I think that the judge ended up, you know, ruling the way that he ruled, was not in any way, shape, or form in evidence. There was no chain of custody. There was no evidence log. There was no evidence whatsoever that they had recovered the thing from the scene. You know, so when you're looking at that, ostensibly, you have to be like, what is going on here? You know, what is going on here? And there's, I'm hard pressed to think of any kind of reasonable explanation that exists, because everything else that required digital forensics to be performed on it was sent within 2 days. You know what I'm saying? And the only thing that wasn't sent on that first run was the dashboard cam, you know? And it's like, I think the judge was left with no choice, you know? And the question for me was always, because it's such an extreme remedy, you know, is he going to have the balls to do it? Because it's a huge swing, you know, dismissing a case like this. But, you know, like I had been saying all along, to me, this was a perfect storm wherein you had the public sentiment behind Aaron Spencer. I think you had a lot of people within the government in Arkansas behind Aaron Spencer. You know, it just, it was lined up so that I think Judge Wilson decided ultimately, look, they shit the bed on this thing massively. Like there's no way that I can allow this thing to go to trial. And, you know, I'm willing to put my neck out on it because, you know, I think it was so egregious in terms of what they had done.
They called it extraordinary and extreme. I mean, that's when you're looking at this and you're looking at, okay, he had, and there was other violations too, but the SD card is the most egregious and the camera, the whole damn thing. I mean, it's like he handled it as if he was handling it like a shitty thing that came in from Temu that he forgot that he ordered. Oh, look at this. I bought that the other night when I was really high and it was $3.99. Who would have known? And then you know, you put it in your drawer and it's just, and it sits for years. And eventually you're like, what is this thing? Wow. Oh, I bought that on Temu. It was like, but it was a key piece of evidence. I mean, is there any world that exists in which this was just one giant F up because they're not accustomed to dealing with high profile cases or cases of any substance of value? I mean, they that's insane to say. Of course, every case that goes through has some value to it. Right. These are people's lives that are on the line. It seems the if it's utter carelessness, well, that's a huge problem in itself. Yeah. But if it's beyond that, because I guess that's the weird part about this. The hiding of the evidence or the keeping it in his desk, opening it on his personal computer, this and that, all the claims that he made. He didn't like go lock it up in a safe. He didn't go destroy it. Or, I mean, it was like it was there. It was just not where it was supposed to be, except for the SD card. We don't know where the hell that went.
Right.
I mean,
the only part that matters.
The only part that matters. But the fact that it's like, it's just kind of like, oh, it's over on his desk, but nobody can touch it. There are little tendrils to it that just seem like, well, he's a dipshit. But there's a lot more that seem like maybe there's something else going on here. Can we ever really get to the answer to that question?
I don't know. Because, you know, what happened, I think the very next day is Robbie McCain was terminated.
Mm-hmm.
And as you may or may not know, Aaron won the primary for sheriff.
Yeah.
And the general election's coming on in November. And if he wins, obviously he's going to be the new sheriff come like January 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you would think that at that point in time, if anybody's going to be able to get answers, it's going to be Aaron Spencer when he gets in there as the boss man. You know, as to what happened with Robbie McCain and, you know, like I'd love to have that guy on the show. Now that he's no longer working for the Lone Oak County Sheriff's Department, I'd love to have him on and ask him some questions because, like, I hate throwing shit out there that's not substantiated in any way, shape, or form. But I saw postings that McCain was saying that he had intentionally destroyed the thing in order to help Aaron. Now, I don't know if McCain said, I don't know if any of that's true.
Yeah.
You know, but when you're trying to think about a situation wherein why this thing would go missing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of the possibilities, right? I mean, if you're going to say, okay, here's the five different possibilities. If this was done intentionally as to why it was done, It was either to help Fossler, it was either done to help Aaron, depending on what the footage shows, right? And we'll never know what the footage shows, which is where the whole thing is. You know, I don't know.
I've seen those postings too, and I was like, huh, let me think about that for a minute. Like, I could there be a world in, I mean, either way, it's unprofessional. It's not acceptable. He should not be in law enforcement if he's putting his finger on the hand of justice, no matter what direction it goes in. It's not for him to do. But if there was this wild hair idea of, oh shit, maybe there's something on here that wouldn't fare well for Aaron Spencer in court, how about I just destroy that for him? Okay. I mean, not what you should be doing at all. And I'm not going to say I'm accepting that because it's not okay. But I could see that being a not super experienced in life or in that sort of role position, human being, taking the law into their own hands. And we all know that in smaller departments and stuff, shit like this does happen all the time. Yeah. So is that a possibility? Was this a harebrained idea of I'm going to do this and it's going to benefit him, but in the way it really played out, I mean, it ultimately got the damn thing dismissed, but at the end, but had it not gotten there, had we been stuck with the same judge before, it also would have probably put him in prison for the rest of his life, too. So, I mean, it's quite a gamble to make.
It's a huge gamble, man. It's like, there's no, like, is the reason I dismiss it as a possibility, frankly, is for the reason that you just described, which is there's no way Robbie McCain, like, played 3D chess with this shit and figured, all right, I'm going to get rid of this thing. And ultimately what's going to happen is the defense attorney is going to file a motion to dismiss because this thing disappeared. And ultimately the case is going to get dismissed by a judge through paper.
Like there, yeah, I mean, it's quite no a foretelling of the future.
Yeah. There's no way in hell that happened, man. So, and you know, the other part of it is when you kind of think about it in the sense that is one cop viewing a video, somebody that you're going to trust in terms of what the evidence shows or doesn't show, you know, and how you're crafting an argument behind what the video shows or doesn't show. It's like all of it seems completely implausible to me. But then again, man, like where did it go? Like, I just want to know I want to know where the damn thing went.
No, you know, I mean, if they had handled it like evidence, it wouldn't be lost. That would be solution number one. Handle it like evidence. Don't handle it like, oh, I just got a cheeseburger. I'm going to go use the bathroom real quick. Aren't these cards tiny? Have you seen how tiny these cards are? And you walk down the hall and you set it on the urinal and you go to the bathroom and then you go back. Oh, shit, the card's in the urinal. Oh, it's not there anymore. And it's the size of a speck of sand. So number one, I mean, I think we've all lost an SD card before, those of us who use them in things. But so, I mean, it's not like it's impossible to lose one of these things. I understand that is a real possibility. But again, you and me handling SD cards around our offices and studios are not criminal evidence.
Exactly.
So, and you and I are that.
Yeah. And we're not sitting here saying that we specifically clicked it back into the device from which it came.
Yes, there's that. And the taking out of cards and things can corrupt them very easily. That does happen. If he hadn't testified to what was on the card, and then basically his testimony defied possibility of what he claims he saw because he was identifying video lengths and such that the camera is incapable of actually taking. Had that lined up with reality more, had it been like, yes, they were all whatever it was, 5 minute lengths. I forgot exactly what the camera took.
One, two, three, and five minutes.
If it lined up with what that thing was capable of doing and it made sense, do you think we'd be having this conversation today or do you think this would be in trial?
I think it would probably be going to trial.
Yeah.
I do, because at that point, you know, when you're talking about like Arizona v. Youngblood, which is, you know, the case that the Supreme Court case that this centers around in terms of the preservation of evidence. And when you've got that thing where it's deemed as only potentially useful, you know, then there's not going to be a due process violation unless you can show bad faith. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's negligence, which you're talking about there, then, you know, it's like a shrug of the shoulders. You know what I mean? You're not going to get the case tossed. You have to show the bad faith there. Now, Judge Wilson went through both tests, you know, in terms of the Youngblood and the Trombetta tests. And, you know, he found that the defense had met both.
Yeah.
But again, if you're pulling out the testimony of McCain, which that testimony and what he was saying is what facilitated the defense hiring their expert, right? And their mm-hmm. expert, someone who comes in and says, all right, I've looked at this model and what this guy is saying is like abjectly false.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. He's lying. Why mm-hmm. he's lying, I don't know. So yeah, if that doesn't happen, then I think we're looking at a different scenario. But, you know, the bigger thing is like the way that this played out. Remember, the defense didn't become privy to the fact that this thing existed. I'm talking about the dashboard cam in the world until they laid eyes when Aaron Castagnoli sees the email from mm-hmm. the AG, which got sent over in discovery, which, you know, should have been turned over, but I'm surprised that it was, you know, mm-hmm. as soon as she sees the email from the AG saying, yeah, there is no SD card, you know, and Aaron's like, what dashboard cam? I've looked through all the evidence logs. I've never seen one mention of a dashboard cam. And then you've got them trying to go back in time and create this evidence log that makes it seem as if they logged it in back around the time when they recovered it. And that was patently false as well. So, I mean, they were able to pick apart what they had done. And, you know, the underlying question still remains, why? You know, like, why? Like, that's the part that like, I am so thrilled for the Spencer family that, like, I don't necessarily want to nitpick on it in terms of wanting to know why anymore, but I still want to know why.
Sure.
I want to know why they did what they did. You know, it's like it's that thing that we've been talking about forever.
Yeah.
Like, who's being protected?
Well, and that's what it comes down to. I mean, is this something where, because sometimes people's ignorance can really masquerade and seem like something far worse than it actually is. Is this something as stupid as, like I just said, like, go to the urinal. Oh, shit, I lost it. It's better to say I saw it. This is the calculation maybe they're making in their mind. Better to say I saw it and then I lost it rather than saying I took it out, looked at it, which I shouldn't have been doing anyhow. But if I say that it existed, then, I mean, I could just see some sort of fucked up, dumb calculation in somebody's mind to cover up their bad behavior or their incompetence, right, and thinking that'll look better than the opposite. When in reality, no, that's not how it's going to play out.
Because negligence is just sloppy. Like if he had said, I dropped it and then I crushed it under the heel of my service shoe,
right
by accident because I didn't see it.
Yeah,
that's going to be negligence. That's not going to be bad faith, because when you slip into that bad faith, that's conduct that reflects awareness that the evidence mattered.
Yeah. But was that the calculation going through that person's mind in that moment, I guess, is the question.
No,
because somebody could calculate that very inaccurately in their mind.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I mean, there's so many questions. Your thoughts on that so far in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. The links are in the description. Aaron Spencer beat Sheriff John Staley, the man whose department arrested and charged him, by double digits in a three-way Republican primary. The county leans heavily Republican. His Democratic opponent faces long odds, which means the man the system charged with murder is on track to run the very department whose detective lost the evidence that ended his prosecution. He'll inherit that agency, those personnel files, and whatever else is inside that building. I guess that's the big question. What else is inside that building? And not to like we were saying in our last segment, not to nitpick how did we get here, but it's more so what else is being covered up, if anything at all. Because we don't know the answer to that question. I hope to God nothing is being covered up, because that means there's less people being affected by evil human beings and their inherently horrible behavior. But if there is, This seems like it could be a lane that leads to some answers. With Aaron about to inherit that agency as an incoming sheriff, if he's elected into the position this fall, the likelihood is that he will be. What's the first thing you think that he's going to do with that department when he gets control over it?
I've spoken with Aaron. I've texted with Aaron, and it's not about settling scores.
No,
like he's going into it legitimately wanting to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
And you know, when we started covering the case pretty heavily, you know, I had a ton of people from down in that area just reaching out and just talking about the corruption. It's like these cases where corruption of some kind seems to get exposed. And especially when it revolves around, you know, kind of like pedophile type ring situations, people come out of the woodwork, and people are talking about like, look, this is the kind of shit that's been going on down here forever. Like, this is an old boys network that like is of the scariest type, because it's an old boys network that's protecting one another for doing the most ratchet shit known to man, which is abusing children.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I know that, and it's not just Aaron, but Heather, his wife, have been really conducting a lot of investigations with their private investigator to try to uncover all the shit that's going on down there. So I think what's going to happen is that Aaron's going to get down there and he's going to drain the swamp. You know what I mean? I mean, he's going to start looking into everything that's been going on. Because remember, if you go back to the beginning of the case, there was a feeling by, you know, that Aaron was feeling that the system wasn't going to take care of them. And that wasn't based on him just thinking that out of the blue. It was based on the fact that it was a thing that was known down around there, that, you know, people that were charged with these horrific crimes against children were seemingly walking out of jail with low bonds, or cases were getting dismissed. Like, there's just a long line of evidence that exists in terms of, it seems very much like predators were being protected down in that area. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's going to be a huge, huge focus for Aaron when he gets in there. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out with the dynamics of the guys who stay on, the guys, and I'm talking about the deputy sheriffs and the guys who may decide that they don't want to stay on. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's kind of a telling thing. Like, if you get a new guy who's coming in, a new sheriff in town, quite literally, and, you know, they're coming in with the intent and they're being very loud about it, that I'm draining the swamp. You know, if you're corrupt, I'm finding you, you know, and I'm going to expose it and you're going to be ousted. I mean, that's an intimidating thing if you're on the wrong side of it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, I mean, Aaron's going to come in with a full heart and bright eyes, and, you know, he's going to take care of business, and what the aftermath is going to be interesting to see.
And there's obviously Aaron is one person and one person going into a system that has what the appearance of systematic corruption and a pattern of this sort of cover up in not only this case, but others. One person going in, it certainly can make a difference, but it is one person going into a system. You're going to hit roadblocks. You have far more, you know, it's not like the sheriff can just go do anything he wants. You have judges still, you got the DA's office, you got prosecutors, you got a lot of elements of the system that will still be in place from the old guard. Some will go, some will be new, as these things always, you know, continue to evolve. But how much of an impact can he make out of the gate when you have essentially the curmudgeoned old guard that is happy with doing things the way that they've always done them, and Aaron only has so much authority?
It's going to be challenging for sure.
Yeah.
You know, because you're talking about, like, he was able to displace Staley through an election process. But when you've got other people that are in positions of power that aren't elected officials, but that have gotten that job through various means, and they're not as easy to displace, and they are entrenched. And if they are protecting people, it then becomes quite a war, you know, and it becomes risky for Aaron in terms of how do I approach this?
Yeah.
You know, do I keep this on the hush hush until I figure out what my game plan is, or do I put it like the entire situation that I start uncovering on blast in order to get the public behind me and have the public asking questions? You know what I mean? But it's a delicate balance. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because he doesn't want to become an enemy within his own department, meaning that he becomes ostracized by everybody that's working for him for whatever reason, you know, but like, I would like to think that there's good people down there.
Sure.
Want to do the right thing. And they got into the job because they want to do the right thing and they want to make the community safer, and that they're going to back them, and that they're going to say, this guy's legit, you know, and this is the guy that I can work for. And this is a guy where I'm going to take my duties a little more seriously because the guy who preceded him wasn't that guy. And that's how the department was run. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it all starts with the head.
Yeah.
You know, and if it trickles down that you've got a righteous dude in there, I think ultimately what's going to happen is you're going to have a bunch of righteous, you know, men and women that come into that department working. So it's not, nothing's going to happen overnight. Like, you don't hear this kind of shit overnight. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of digging, and it's going to be risky and probably scary, you know, because like we talk about all the time, that concept of like, what are people hiding and why? If it's the worst thing possible, then people are going to go to great lengths to protect that secret.
Yes. And that's a scary part of this is, right. Okay. I mean, and that's, you know, I don't want to be over dramatic or anything, but he needs to be watching his back over the next many months. Right. And his family does too. I mean, because of that scariness, because of those people, if there is something hidden out here that's far deeper and goes much darker, that is far more powerful than anything that's been there, there'd be a vested interest in that not being exposed. And people have a vested interest in stopping that being exposed, because if it is exposed, their life is over. So they're going to make a calculated call of it's either you or me. And some people act out in quite extreme ways. And shining a light on things like this is always a touchy and tricky thing to do if you're going to do it effectively. It's one thing to grandstand and we're going to get rid of all the predators and the horrible people. They're going to be gone. Like, great. I mean, I think everyone can agree on that. That's not like, oh, wow, somebody finally getting rid of predators. But if you go in there with that, they're going to scatter. You're shining the light on them from 5 football fields away. They know you're coming.
Yep.
If you go into it a little more chill, a little more, thank you for electing me. I'm coming in. We're going to make sure that our county is being run correctly, and I'm the best sheriff you can have. And then slowly start to find the problems being some of the people thinking, oh, I can still get away with this. He's probably not going to be that bad. That's how you get in. That's how you catch them. Not screaming in the flashlight, hey, we're coming for you, but hey, let's go out to lunch. Hey, buddy, come on over here. You know, I think that might be an interesting approach to getting underneath the skin and getting in deeper. With this.
I mean, hearing the problem.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Ultimately, that's what we want. Not like, you know, the cockroaches scattering.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe leaving the area is fine for Lonoke, but those cockroaches end up somewhere.
Yes.
And so you haven't cured the problem. You've only moved it to a different area.
Do you want to eradicate it or just move it?
Yeah. Exactly. So I like what you say is gospel. You know, I mean, in terms of the approach and how you're going to handle it coming in, is something that I'm sure Aaron's putting a lot of thought into, you know, because it's one thing to run on a campaign, right? Yeah. And it's another thing altogether when you get into office, how you're going to actually implement it. You know what I'm saying? Like, does he want to be the walking tall guy with the big stick smashing stills, or does he want to be a little bit more low key and just come in and say, all right, look, we're going to implement some new policies here. You know, like we're going to budget for certain things in terms of training. So that my officers understand exactly kind of what we're looking for. You know, what are the warning signs, like all those things to where that department's better armed for, mm-hmm. for fighting the fight, as opposed to coming in and smashing heads together. You know what I'm saying? Cause like, I agree. If you come in hot, you know, the bottom line is that people will probably disappear, but again, you haven't eradicated the problem. Instead, you've just sent it somewhere else for it to become a problem there, you know? So it's going to be interesting. I mean, he's got a lot of work ahead of him. There's no question about it.
He does. I mean, and accountability is certainly good. And going in and saying, you know, we're going to be accountable, but then also there are repercussions, you know, being accountable for previous people's sins, if you will. And we're going to get to that in our next segment. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Links are in the description. We would love for you to weigh in wherever you are watching or listening right now and press subscribe. Wilson's ruling in the Aaron Spencer case focused on one detective and one piece of evidence, but Lonoke County's history under Sheriff Staley goes back over a decade. A deputy killed an unnamed 17-year-old named Hunter Britton with his body camera off. A jail detainee was allegedly assaulted and retaliated against for reporting it. Video evidence has vanished in federal civil rights cases. The question isn't what happened to one SD card. It's who's trying to escape accountability now, and that a judge has finally used the word cover up in writing. Aaron Spencer going in, we're assuming he's going to be elected sheriff. Let's just keep operating on that. Go in, you want to say accountability, and accountability is going to be looking at a lot of the past track that you are now planning to go forward on and going, ooh, that's some rough track back there. And there's a lot of people who were hurt by it. And those people, they're glad you're there. They're glad that you are going to go forward and you're going to be an accountable agency. But you know what? They were still burned back then. And if the agency itself, the sheriff's department, is saying, yeah, it was fucked up. We did a bunch of fucked up people doing a bunch of fucked up things. And holy shit.
Yeah.
They still want accountability for it. That's going to open up doors. That's going to open up lawsuits. That's going to, not necessarily because they want to punish Aaron. No, they love him. But it's the sheriff's department and their insurance company, if they have it, and their coffers that are going to take the hit of exposing that sort of behavior, if it exists. Let's talk about that for a minute, because that's a Pandora's box that ultimately will have to be opened.
Yeah, I mean, no question about it. And, you know, at some point in time, quantity becomes quality. I mean, because one incident, you know, you're like, all right, that's an error in judgment. When it starts to happen and it's clear that it's a pattern, that's a whole different thing, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're talking about a situation where how is that going to get dealt with in terms of everything that's going to come along with it if it starts to get exposed?
Yeah.
Because like you're talking about, it is nuanced because this is a political office.
Yeah.
Meaning that if you're going to come in and flamethrow the prior administration to the extent where you're setting the county up for massive lawsuits, it's tricky. You know what I'm saying? It's a tricky situation because you know what the right thing to do is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right is right. And money should never take precedent over what's right. However, when you're in a political position, you know, we just know how that shit works in the real world. It's like there's the way it looks on paper and the way that it should be. And there's the way that it operates in practice in the real world. Now, I'm of the mindset that Aaron's not going to give a shit. Like mm-hmm. that Aaron's going to say, you know what? If we're exposed as a county and we're going to have to open the coffers because there's going to be multiple lawsuits that are going to have to get settled, then so be it. And you know what? That's a warning to the community, to the taxpayers. You know, take a look at who you're you're voting into office.
Yeah, it's like you put these people here, you supported them there, they did the damage. Now you get to also face the consequences of electing dipshits.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, ultimately, it's a heavy price to pay, but the benefit is that you're getting a safer community for your kids to grow up in and a safer community for you to live in. Because when you're talking about Lone Oak County, you're not talking about a crime hub. Right. You're not talking about there. You're not reading articles about Lone Oak County. And there were, you know, 37 shootings over the holiday weekend. This ain't it. You know, like shit that goes on there is clearly way more nefarious. It's it's under, you know, cover of darkness and you're not aware of it. You know what I'm saying? And so it's way more insidious. So it's a harder problem to bring to the surface. And, you know, the only way that you're going to be able to do it is through exposure, you know, and exposure means that you're doing the digging. You're going to have to flamethrow people publicly that were probably in positions of power. And you're going to go from there and you're just going to let the chips fall where they may ultimately. And if that means that, you know, careers are lost, lives are ruined, money is paid out, then so be it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like let it burn. If it's already on fire and it needs to finish itself out, then let it finish itself out. Is there any levers that Aaron can pull it to essentially get assistance in this process, like federal investigations, federal corruption investigations into any of his predecessors, getting the FBI involved, getting the state the state agencies? Is there anything that he could say, hey, guys, I need some help over here? This is kind of a shit show I walked into, and we want to make sure none of these people are still left standing to harm other individuals. It's not a move of settling scores. It's a move of getting rid of the evil that exists in the atmosphere, whether they have a title or not still. Do you see any of that ahead?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what he uncovers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, depending on how filthy it is when he starts digging into it and he realizes pretty quickly that he's going to need assistance. I mean, that's where you can go in and hit the feds up and say, yo, you know, it's like, I hate to do this, but, you know, I need your help. I need greater resources than I have available to me down here. And if it's enough for the feds to take a peek at it and they're like, all right, we're all in because this corruption seems like it is, you know, deep and we're with you. Then, yeah, I mean, the feds can definitely take a look at it, whether or not Aaron's going to want to involve them. Because that becomes a much different thing. But like the one thing that we don't have to worry about with Aaron Spencer is that he's got anything to hide.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like if he's coming in and he needs the assistance of the feds or the attorney general's office, you know, I mean, either way, but Aaron's going to be in this weird position initially of not knowing who to trust.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, because he's going to have people that, you know, are coming at him saying, man, we're so glad you're here. And then, you know, out of the other side of their mouth, they're like, fuck that guy. You know what I mean? You just never know who you're dealing with until you figure out who they are and what they're made of. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a lot about it. And Aaron has no experience in law enforcement. Yeah. I mean, he's military, he's ex-military. So he's trained in the ways of the military, but law enforcement's a different beast. So like Aaron's going to have to really get super acclimated. There's going to be a lot of work ahead for him in terms of learning procedure, you know, and how to operate a sheriff's department properly, you know, and I have no doubt that he'll do that, you know, and pass, you know, pass muster with flying colors in terms of how he's going to run the department, but he's still got to learn it all, you know, and during that process, you know, you're going to need help from somebody. You know what I mean? And it's a matter of figuring out who you can trust, which just isn't going to be an easy set of circumstances.
No, I mean, even in a good day, I mean, if none of this is going on, if he's walking into the loveliest former sheriff's department that, you know, and everyone was great, it still would be a learning curve no matter what. And then you add this into it, and it just makes it that much more complicated. Detective McCain got fired. Sheriff Staley says that he takes responsibility. Graham lost his motion. Everyone's issuing statements right now. There's a lot that's going on. People are coming. People are going. People are retiring. People have already left. I mean, there's a lot of motion that's in play at the moment here with everybody. Is there anything, should the state be stepping in at some point here? Can the state step in here at some point with any of these characters, especially like McCain? For example, what we saw out in Massachusetts, in Stoughton, where some of those officers in the Sandra Birchmore case, decertified, I believe was what happened. They can't be officers anymore in the state of Massachusetts. Should we be seeing some things like that going on here where it's like, you guys effed this up so bad? The judge had to issue this thing, appearance of corruption. We don't want you anywhere near law enforcement again. Yeah. Because all they seem to do, it's pass the trash, one department to the next. Maybe it'll be more difficult because thank God there's the world of us and social media and things where people's names can always be found and heard unless you change your name these days. But other than that, if there isn't necessarily the legal scarlet letter on their name, they'll probably find a job somewhere else. At least that's historically how it's gone. Do you see that being an issue for McCain? Or should there be more things going forward to really make sure he doesn't get a job at another Podunkville?
Well, interestingly enough, I don't know if you saw, there was a post in this, I don't know if it's an online thing, saying that McCain had gotten hired by
the
police department.
They denied that quickly, right?
And interestingly, Chuck Graham, who's the prosecutor, his brother is the chief.
Yes.
So his brother, which again, when you're talking about just how small this community is and how it's, really pretty, for lack of a better term, incestuous in terms of, you got the lead prosecutor and you got the chief of police and, it's that type of community. And, he comes out and says, yeah, we did not hire him. But if you're talking about McCain, it's clear he's the fall guy, right? Yeah. So Staley turns around and shit cans him immediately. Uh-huh. And if you're McCain, you have to be sitting there thinking, all right, do I have an incentive to flip now?
Yeah.
Meaning that is his best play to turn around, because he's poisoned any department at this point. Mm-hmm. Maybe if he moves out to Utah or Wyoming, somebody will hire him out there. But in terms of that state, he's done. And if you're McCain, are you flipping and you're saying, all right, look, I'm going to tell you, I am doing what our office always did, or what I was told to do, which then pushes all the responsibility upward. Mm-hmm. And it's not on him alone. It's one thing to be the fall guy. It's another thing altogether if you're going to not allow yourself to be the fall guy and you've got a way to prove it. What I'm saying? If I'm Aaron, I'm reaching out to McCain. Mm-hmm. Because McCain's going to be the best person to try to get some answers.
Yes.
More than anybody else, because at this point he's got an incentive to do it.
Assuming McCain has nothing to hide other than this is what happened with the SD card. And I'm not saying he has anything to hide, but I'm saying if he has absolutely, there's no big skeletons in this closet. This is the way to redeem oneself if he really wants to.
100%. If he's got the ability, there exists this possibility in the world that if McCain comes clean and exposes corruption within that department and that he was straight up the patsy on this thing, mm-hmm. it changes his life arc completely.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It changes everything for him to where, okay, he's not the pariah. He's not the guy that had this case go away because of his malfeasance. He's the guy who helped uncover and expose the corruption that's been going on. And he's working hand in hand with Aaron Spencer. The question's going to be is, does he have the evidence of it?
That's true.
And
the timing of whatever choice he's going to make is crucial. And it's kind of right now, because we're in the choose your own adventure book right now. And I'm sitting here and I'm choosing, if I were him, I'm choosing which page to go to, and right, you can't go back. So you pick your page and where you're going, because McCain, if you're watching or listening, which you probably are, this could be a redemption arc.
Totally. Totally. And take it. And you know how you go about it, Robbie, is by filing a 1983 claim. Because, like, in my estimation, when I saw that he was terminated so quickly and you have Staley coming out and basically putting it all on him and then saying, you know, it was my fault. I should have seen it. You know, him doing that bullshit. Mm-hmm. It appears to me, if it's not a 1983 claim, it's a retaliatory termination claim, you know? So, which is probably more where it will live in terms of, like, he was fired in retaliation of him fucking up the whole case. Mm-hmm. Because if he does that, at that point, you have the civil discovery process to be able to go into deeply. Mm-hmm. Like, in civil discovery is where he can let his freak flag fly completely. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He can let it all hang out. And in that particular type of scenario, he can throw the people under the bus that he needs to throw under the bus. And you're going to have his lawyer digging in because he's trying to hit a home run with the suit. Mm-hmm. And so that lawyer is going to start deposing all of these people. Like, that is the avenue in which, if you're trying to uncover a whole bunch of shit, you mm-hmm. get people sworn under oath, sitting in a room with a lawyer who's motivated to uncover all of it. And mm-hmm. like, that's, if I'm Robbie McCain and I got a story to tell, that's the way I'm telling it.
It's going to be really interesting to see who else gets fired, who else leaves voluntarily, who else suddenly is taking a long trip to Cambodia for no reason or whatever. Maybe they're hopping a flight with Harvey Adelson over to Vietnam with a one-way ticket. I would imagine if this does go pretty deep and dark, we're going to see some other exits from the stage that don't just involve leaving a house or leaving a community or leaving a job. I think we're going to probably see some self-deletions here as well, which I'm watching for. I think everybody needs to be watching for, because that's going to be some interesting fire. Yeah. As far as what else is around that person that they can't outrun this. It's not just the shame of doing a shitty job or being part of a cover-up. There's something much deeper when that starts to happen. Has that run through your mind at all, Bob? Are you thinking that that might be on the docket for, I don't know who, but some characters in this orbit that, well, the tides have clearly shifted not in their direction?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's definitely run through my mind. And, you know, let's take it for the first step. So yesterday, because when the order came out, I'm sure you know this, Tony, the Judge Wilson had not said that it was with prejudice, which yep. means dead in the water, you know, you can't bring it back, it's over. But they can still appeal, right? So the question now becomes is whether or not the Attorney General is going to appeal it. So they're going to have the 30 days and to file the notice of appeal. And if that comes and goes, which to me, I think it would be insane for them to appeal it. You know, I just like, this isn't the hill that you want to die on.
No,
you know, because public sentiment is not with you. Like, this is a fight that they just need to give up. So once that passes, that's when the shit is really going to get interesting. Cause I think right now that a lot of people are still very quiet in terms of everybody that might be on any side of this is kind of just biding their time until that notice of appeal deadline passes. Then once that passes, everybody's free to say and do whatever they need to say and do. And all that shit that you were talking about, that's when that's yeah. going to come to surface. And, you know, I mean, like, Aaron's got to think about, like, he's the one who really has potentially a really strong 1983 complaint.
Yeah.
You know, like, if Aaron decides to do it, but he's got so much shit going on, you know, in terms of this upcoming election and then assuming that he's going to win and he's got to take this new office and he's got to get acclimated and all that. So, I mean, does he want to take the time to file the 1983 claim? Mm-hmm. Maybe, maybe not. But again, like, I always look at these civil cases as an incredible way to expose things because of the discovery process in it. You just, you have the ability to just dig in civil cases in a way that you don't in criminal cases with the interrogatories, which just is a fancy word for written questions, production requests, where you're requesting of certain people that they provide you with this evidence. And if they don't, you know, you go in and you argue to the judge why it's relevant and why you need it. And then the judge orders that they have to turn it over. You have obviously the deposition. So like all of these areas to where it starts from a claim, whether it's Aaron in a 1983 claim or it's Robbie McCain in a wrongful termination claim for retaliatory termination. But you get that process going and you're just going to uncover shit. You know what I'm saying? And in both of those cases, neither of them are frivolous.
Yeah.
So this isn't like you're filing a suit just to dig. You're filing a highly effective lawsuit that probably is going to prevail. And through that process, you're going to learn so much.
And because if that's the only lever to pull to get there, you might need to pull it.
You might need to pull it. You might need to pull it, you know? So it's going to be fascinating to watch. I mean, at the end of the day, man, I'm just so happy for that family because they were just going through it in a way that unless you've been in the system, and I'm talking about in the criminal justice system, you have no idea the amount of pressure that is placed upon not only Aaron Spencer, and I'm talking about every breathing moment of every day, but the family, about the nightmare of what could be. You know, it's like the fear of the unknown is the most paralyzing fear that there is. And them living through this for 2 years and the thought of them having to put their daughter on the stand in order to save her father was gut-wrenching for them. To have that go away, I feel so happy for the family. Like I text Aaron like afterwards. I'm like, have you started breathing yet? And he's like, man, he's like, I have to tell you, I forgot how to, you know, and it was like, it was super poignant because it was incredibly true. You know, it's like people just don't think about that side of the process and, you know, leading up to a trial, man, that whole thing is a nightmare, you know, especially if you're a person that shouldn't be, you know, being tried for
it. Shouldn't be going on to begin with. Yeah. I mean, it's like, why is this even happening? Right. I mean, and thank God. I mean, the trauma that this family has gone through, that his daughter has gone through, that will live with them for the rest of their lives. 100%. If there's a silver lining to this, it is the fact that this has elevated Aaron Spencer to a place where he's very likely going to become sheriff and will hopefully end up being the barrier to protect other children and other families from ever having to go through that sort of shit again, because it's not going to happen. It's not going to fly. And the institutional protection of predators in Lonoke County is coming to an end.
100%. Man, and I'm going to end it on this. I would not be surprised that down the road to see Aaron Spencer run for state legislature. I mean, like, he was kind of forced into this path against his will, but I think that he looks at it as a calling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And who am I to argue with it?
Yeah. Go with it. Go with it where life takes you. And if that's able, to really do some amazing good for other folks, that's what it's about. So, I certainly wish him well, and I'm so happy for his family and all the supporters. That it's amazing that we're here now. Now I think some of the real war begins, quite honestly, with this, because now it's set up to expose far more beyond this. So 100%. I hope that happens. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. The links are in the description. Bob Mata, go check him out. Podcast Defense Diaries and on YouTube. And
Buried, Inside the John Wayne Gacy Investigation. You'll love it. It's a great pod. Listen to it.
You will love it. Go check it out and press subscribe as well. Until next time. By the way, Robin's back. I think he's back tomorrow, right? Todd, is he back tomorrow? Is that?
I think Thursday.
Thursday. Yep.
Yeah.
He's out doing Amazing Robin things that we can't talk about yet, but we'll talk about it at some point. He'll be back on Thursday to join us in the conversation on all this. So please do join us then. And until next time, for Bob, for Robin, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.